speak about a revolutionary idea in preaching through cyberspace. And I'd like to introduce Shantanu, who was given instruction by Srila Prabhupada to preach in Austin, and he's been working out of Austin as his base since when, 19?
We went, originally was working there in 71 when I got initiated, and then we went back and by just surrendering to the higher authorities, we were sent here and there all over the world. But then in 1992, we had the opportunity to go back to Austin.
1992. And then in the year 2000, he was blessed by the GVC to begin taking disciples. And he took a vow at that time to flood the world with Srila Prabhupada's books. So he was trying to think, how can I do that? And in so doing, he was inspired by Super Soul in the Heart, I guess, to begin preaching over the internet, and he's had tremendous success. Now he's traveling all around and taking care of the devotees that he's made by giving them Krishna consciousness over the internet. So he's here today to tell you all how to inspire others via that medium, right? Hare Krishna. Let's hear.
So we're very happy to be with all of you wonderful sadhus here in New Vrindavan, this festival of inspiration. Actually, the whole thing is going by the mercy of the holy names. So the more we get the take shelter of the holy names, the more we get empowered and inspired. So I wanted to do a little chanting to begin, because that's where that's the whole basis. If we want to make a spiritual revolution, we have to first of all revolutionize our own hearts, and that is by taking shelter of the holy names. So. Well, first, just a little chanting. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Padaya, Bhutale, Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta. Swami Nitti Namine Krishna Krishna Bhutale Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtachari Shatarine.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani
Jai Shri Chaitanya Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Vasari Goda Bandhane Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually described he inundated the whole universe with Krishna Prema. It's also described that by Krishna to Arjuna that actually I have killed all the enemy soldiers. They are already killed by me. Now I simply want that you should fight and take credit. So actually the whole world is already revolutionized. It's already inundated with Krishna Prema. But Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, they are simply requesting us that we should go forward into the battlefield of preaching and take credit for what has already been done by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, we don't want to take the credit. We want to give all the credit. But Prabhupada gives us the credit. He said, "Why do you always say all glories to Srila Prabhupada? Why don't you become glorious?" So the more that we can actually be instrumental in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for spreading Krishna consciousness by book distribution, making devotees, prasadam, etc., we become very, very dear to the Lord. So that is called Krishna Priya or Vishnu Priya, one who is very dear to the Lord. So this is what devotees want. We all want to become very dear to Krishna. That's actually what we are meant to do. So this is how we can do that, by preaching. So when, as Mother Lakshmi Moni mentioned, and the GBC have an official oath that they administer to someone when they get the blessings to initiate disciples, and that oath includes that I will flood the whole world with Prabhupada's books. So I was saying, what can I do? So I got this idea, well, let me try on the internet, see what I can do, and no one took a book. I made a very nice page describing how wonderful this Bhagavad Gita as it is, nice photographs, nothing. But then I thought, let me give them something for free, because if there's some relationship developed, this is actually the relationships are the real key for successful preaching, building relationships. If I can use the internet as a way to actually build relationships with people, then naturally they'll trust me, they'll want to buy the books. And so I decided, let me start a course. We call it the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. Because actually there's three different levels of self-realization: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Bhagavan realization is the ultimate self-realization. And of course the Krishna consciousness movement is the ultimate place where you go to get knowledge on self-realization also. So I thought this is an appropriate name. It's very attractive. And people go, wow, the ultimate self-realization course. There's so many self-realization things out there, you know, different web pages, different books, but here is the ultimate self-realization course. So we gave it a name like that to position it as the world's leading system, which indeed Krishna consciousness is. The world's leading system on how to achieve spiritual perfection. And today we have 20,000 people signed up for our weekly lesson, and we have 6,000 people signed up for the thought of the day. This revolutionary spirit actually is right there in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says this Bhagavatam is meant for bringing about a revolution. So actually this is our move. We want to revolutionize the world. Of course, as we studied yesterday in the Bhagavatam class, Bahir Nasingo Hridaye Nasingo, which literally means Lishringa without and Lishringa within. But Prabhupada gives the translation that let my heart become clean, let Lord Nrisimhadeva reside in my heart and kill all my bad propensities, making me completely clean. And then let me be able to bring peace to the entire world. This is the meditation of the Vaishnava. He or she wants to completely purify their own heart, and then they want to do something to spread this great mercy that they receive to people all over the world who are suffering. Within Nrisimha and without Nrisimha, we want the Nrisimha or Krishna consciousness will be manifested in every town, every village, every heart of every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. That is our mission. So the internet is actually a very, very powerful way. It's growing like anything all the time. It's amazing. I travel all over the world just to keep up with, to personally meet with my many students around the world, to give them personal guidance. And wherever I go, I can get on the internet. Doesn't matter where I am in the world. I've always been able to get on to send out my daily broadcast called Thought for the Day and my weekly lesson. So it's a very, very suitable medium, and it is indeed effective. We've had many examples where people had never had any contact with the Krishna consciousness movement. They found my course. We taught them, here's what you have to do. You have to read Prabhupada's books. We have people ordering full sets of Bhagavatams, japa beads. They follow the principles. We send them to the nearest temple to associate with devotees, and they end up getting initiated. So it's a very successful program of taking somebody who's never had any contact with our movement and actually bring him to the point of being an initiated disciple in our movement. So it has proven its effectiveness. It's a very good way also that that you can, all of us have certain contacts, all of us who are preaching have people that we have contacted. I told this to Jai Pataka Maharaj the other day, that you have so many disciples, why don't you send them something every day? Now, the latest words of wisdom from Jaya Pataka Swami sent out a daily broadcast all over the world. It will, and he really liked that idea. He said, "Sign me up for your course." He enrolled in it. Let's check out how I'm doing this. But it's a very nice way to have a regular contact. Just imagine you're preaching to somebody and you have a little daily mailing you do. And then you give your little daily realization about Krishna consciousness, about chanting, about prasadam, about kirtan, about, you know, Mayavad versus Vaishnava. There's millions of different things we can write about. And you just, you send it out. You actually, on PAMHO, you can set up a conference and you can add people to that conference. And you can just send out a broadcast every day through PAMHO. It's very easy. You just get your list of people and keep in regular touch with your contacts. That regular association on a regular basis. Many people tell me this. I start my day. I go onto the computer, I read your thought for the day, and that's how I begin my day. And then I start my round. I read thought for the day and start my morning sadhana. I'll give you a sample here of thought for the day. This was yesterday's thought for the day, which went all over the world. Thought for the day, from the ecstatic road back to Godhead in the beautiful new Vrindavan in the hills of West Virginia. This one is titled "Flying High on Sadhu Sangha in New Vrindavan." It is so relishable to be here in the association of so many wonderful devotees from all over North America. This is called Sadhu Sangha, the association of Lord Krishna's saintly devotees. The company of the Lord's devotees is most wonderful because it situates us far, far beyond the clouds of illusion. Just by being in their presence, our hearts become enlivened in transcendental bliss. Yesterday, while we were flying from Austin on our way to this transcendental gathering, I was noticing how there were multi-layers of clouds covering the earth. This is reminding me of the multi-layered configuration of our entanglement within the material energy. For countless lifetimes, we've been accumulating millions upon millions of layers of lust, anger, greed, etc. To come out of it all of a sudden is not always an easy task. It requires good, strong association. We must seek out the company of those who are highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. If we hear and inquire from them and lovingly serve them, then quickly and easily we become situated on the transcendental platform, flying high on the airplane of their mercy in the realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And then a little ending note, fly Sadhu Sangha Airlines. It will get you there in no time. So these are just a sample of what they get every day, all the people who sign up for Thought for the Day. If you're interested, you just go to backtohome.com, and there you have the option to sign up by giving your name and email address, backtohome.com, backtohome.com. So, this is exciting. Actually, it is so exciting. I can't believe how exciting it is, because I was always thinking, now how can I be fully absorbed in preaching? As a householder, I was spent a few years working full-time, actually 3 years, and then I was working part-time, and then I just started my own little home-based business of selling tickets to Vrindavan to my godbrothers, like Amogha Leela, who was one of my best customers. So that way I was associating with devotees, but now I'm basically just doing this, because I don't even have time. Since I started the course, I've personally written 6,000 emails sending out to people, personal letters, 6,000 of them. So it's a pretty full-time job what I'm doing. And wherever I go, I had to get two sets of batteries for the long international flight so I could keep writing letters when you're flying for 10 hours over the Atlantic and your battery runs out and you just put in a new set. So basically I have four batteries, two in here and then another two to keep it juiced up when I get on the other side of the Atlantic towards Europe. So it's actually hard work, but it's not really hard. It's sweet work. I work very hard always. You know, every day I'm writing. Every day I'm answering emails. We're planning our tours. We just got back from 5 weeks in Europe, which was actually absolutely divine. It's all from people I had contacted on the e-course. We did a whole thing of Scandinavia, then down, we did a whole tour of the Baltic states. And wherever I go, I get more people who say, yeah, I want to be on the course. In fact, in Lithuania now, we have somebody translating my thought for the day into Lithuanian and putting it on the bulletin board in the temple room, you know, the temple room in the temple building hall. So we just, I get more and more people from all over the world. What we do is we give personal guidance, because I have very wonderful experience of Prabhupada writing me letters. I wasn't a big devotee. I'm just a rank and file brahmachari. You know the feeling. And somehow was guided by Vishnu John when I first joined. And I asked him a question. He couldn't answer. He said, "Why don't you write Prabhupada?" So I got hooked on writing Prabhupada letters. And because he wrote me back so wonderfully, and then I write him another letter, and so I have a whole series of letters, and I saw how Prabhupada wrote me with such warmth, with such compassion. Even though I wasn't a GBC, I wasn't a sannyasi, I wasn't a temple president, I wasn't a big book distributor, you know, I'm just a humble, I was one of the original early pioneers of the Gainesville Pashadam program, actually, in the old days, back in the early 70s. I did that program for 3 years. So I wasn't a big name. I was just handing out prasadam on the Plaza of the Americas. But Prabhupada wrote me with such kindness, so much personal touch. In fact, I can never really forget, because I got initiated by mail. He was in London and I was in Austin. So instead of being able to give the dakshin to him personally, I got to write him, you know, send the dakshin by mail, which is a wonderful opportunity. You give me a chance to write to him. So what really, really touched me was he said, you know, he's Prabhupada provided officially in the capacity of the spiritual master, right? He's preaching the philosophy, you know. But at the end, he signed his name, and then he put P.S. We're going to Nairobi on Friday night. Just like you would tell a family member, you know. I went, wow. I'm his son. I'm not just a disciple. I'm also his intimate son. That he's saying, P.S. We're going to Nairobi on Friday night. I was thinking I could write a whole book called P.S. We're going to Nairobi Friday night about Prabhupada, what Prabhupada meant to me in my life, you see. So anyway, because I got that kind of personal touch from Prabhupada, even though I wasn't a big name, just some rank and file unknown of brahmachari out there in some small temple that Prabhupada never even came to, you see. But still, through writing letters to me, Prabhupada, I felt such a strong, strong connection with him. Because I could see how he was just pouring the mercy out without any of his... he wasn't holding back any mercy. He was just giving unlimited mercy to someone who practically didn't deserve it. And so I try to do that when I try to convey the same feeling and spirit of Prabhupada when I answer the correspondence. I get all kinds of correspondence. Here's just a sample of somebody who is objecting to my preaching. This was a naysayer. Let's see here. This was published on May 4th. Every thought of the day, there's a thought and there's also a sample of correspondence. So, and this is somebody from Malaysia. Mr. Rakin, he's a Hindu. He says, "Dear Master, I'm so happy to hear that we, the Atmas, are not Hindus or Christians or Muslims or Jews, that we are instead pure consciousness." Then you go on to say that it is most appropriate to call God as Krishna, because this word means all attractive. Since the name Krishna has a sectarian or cult connotation, can there be an alternate name to suggest the Supreme Consciousness in its universal perspective, so that when the name is uttered, every Atma is attracted, irrespective of color and creed? This is the same mood they had in New York when they said, "Prabhupada, you should call it God consciousness, not Krishna consciousness." Remember that one, yeah. Same objection he's raising, that you're being sectarian now by saying Krishna. This is a Hindu. He wants to be, quote unquote, universal. And then he says, "This may prevent the Kali Yuga problem of diversity and unity, which is the root cause of all the problems in the world. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that God is one, yet they cling on to their denomination, saying Allah is great, Krishna is great, and Christ is great. Can you address this problem so that we can all fall under one root of the Supreme Consciousness Brotherhood? Thank you, Master M. Rakin." So, Here was my reply to him. my dear Amrekan, accept these as my blessings. You do not have the proper understanding of what it means to be sectarian. If I call that fiery ball in the sky the sun, am I being sectarian? Not at all. I'm simply referring to it in the English language. In Spanish, it is El Sol. In Hindi, it is Surya. I can refer to it in any language and be correct and not be sectarian. If I say that its name in a particular language is its only name, but the names in the other languages are invalid, then I'm being sectarian. I just returned from a visit to the Muslim world. There I engaged an entire hall full of our Muslim brothers and sisters in ecstatically chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Your claim is invalid that we need an alternate name to make it attractive. The name Krishna is all attractive. I have personally experienced this, hoping this meets you in good health and a cheerful mood. Sankarshan Dasadikari. So in this way, we sometimes have naysayers writing in, which we preach in such a way that they accept it. They generally, one man objected that, why are you selling the Bhagavad Gita? This is wrong. This is materialistic. You cannot asking money. You see? And now he's completely turned around. I explained that, we would love to give it away, but the printing company demands money. What can we do? You see? So I find that practically any objection Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. So I find that it's quite practical to give reasonable, shastrically valid answers for every naysayer that comes, practically every naysayer. There's a few, like the Ritviks are a little hard to. We get the Ritviks sometimes coming in and attacking, but most of our correspondence is people who are appreciating it and who are asking for personal guidance, which I don't publish those letters. I get many questions about personal guidance. A lot of questions, people needing personal guidance in their spiritual life. And the ones we publish are the philosophical ones, which people won't feel their personal life is put out in the public. We publish philosophical inquiries. Of course, the fundamental question then, we oftentimes take it for granted that we should spread this Krishna consciousness movement. But it's actually a very valid philosophical inquiry. I deal with people who don't have the assumptions that we have as ISKCON members. So it's really helped me to broaden, doing all this writing to these people for the 3 years has helped me to broaden my perspective a lot. Because they don't take anything for given or for granted. We take it for granted we're supposed to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. But they don't. So I have to go back into every single aspect of everything that we do and come up with a logical reason that we do it. You see, there has to be a logic behind everything. The general public don't accept the authority of Scripture. So I have to be able to deal with every single aspect of our culture, our philosophy, our practices, and give a logical reason for every single thing. And it's been very great for me, a great expansion of my own Krishna consciousness. Why do we want to make a revolution in cyberspace and in regular space? Why do we want to do that? You see? Is it because, we're proud, I'm a Hare Krishna and I'm proud and I want everybody to be a Hare Krishna? No. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? Because we're Hare Krishnas? No. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said any name can be chanted. So why are we chanting? We are chanting Hare Krishna because that is what is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. This is the most effective means. We would chant anything if it was more effective. We are chanting Hare Krishna because it is the most effective means of reconnecting the living entity with his or her original source. So why do we want to become Krishna conscious? See, these things we have to have a very deep understanding. If we have understanding, why should I be Krishna conscious? then we can understand why other people should be Krishna conscious. So the first question you really need to ask is, why do I exist? Why? How is it that I exist, and why do I exist? You see, if we can start off with these, understanding these things very solidly, then everything else can become very nice. We exist as, according to Krishna, aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. We exist because Krishna is emanating us at every minute. You see? Sometimes we say that, oh, God created, like it's something that happened in time. But the real fact is that we eternally, as we study in second chapter, natvevaham jatu nasam, natvang ne me janadipa, we are eternal beings. So how can you say that Krishna created us if we're eternal? You see? The real understanding is that we are eternal emanations from Krishna. We are dependent beings, eternally existing, because Krishna is emanating us from himself at this very second. Did you realize that Krishna is emanating you right now from himself, Prabhu? Did you know that? Krishna is emanating you right now. That's why you as a spiritual being exist. You do not exist independently if Krishna is emanating you. You see? So, why is Krishna emanating us? Why does a parent want to have children? Why does Chanakya Pandit say a house without children is like a desert? You see? Actually, Krishna is emanating us from himself. He is Atmaram. He doesn't really need to. He can enjoy independently. So why is he doing it? He's doing it because he wants to expand his own enjoyment unlimitedly. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, so to increase his enjoyment, he's expanding from himself millions and billions of living entities for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with each, a unique loving relationship with each and every one of them. You may say there are five rasas, but actually there's unlimited rasas. Each living entity has their own unique rasa with Krishna. And he's emanating all these living entities from himself just to have that loving exchange with them. That's why you exist, Prabhu. Krishna wants to enjoy a relationship with you. A unique relationship that nobody else has except for you and him. You see. So, that's... And if you don't love Krishna, there's no way you can be happy, because you, it's a fish out of water. If you don't love Krishna, you're just cutting your throat. So we have a whole world where people don't even know who Krishna is, or to speak of loving him. Well, that's why it's very important that we, first of all, reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna by the standard process of sadhana bhakti. That is very important that we do that. We, first of all, revolutionize our own hearts. And then we see how we can be used as an instrument in the hands of Guru, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how we can be used as instruments for revolutionizing the entire human society. Prabhupada explains that the in the Bhagavatam, he says a Krishna conscious being... Maybe if I stand up, it'll be better. He says in the Bhagavatam that a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity. So, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings? Are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings? Prabhupada describes that a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, how to deliver the suffering humanity. He says even if he is not successful in doing that, anyone who follows him will go back to Godhead, and his perfection is guaranteed. So this revolutionary mood of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness, make the world Krishna conscious, is a mood that is meant to be had by every person who is Krishna conscious. So we can apply that to the internet and then see, okay, well, how can we use the internet to contact as many people as we can, cultivate as many people as we can, etc., etc. So that's what we're doing. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Let me get my hearing aid cranked up. The body's getting old these days. Old body here.
how do you advertise?
Yes.
To get people to sign up.
Yes. We're using the same principle that Krishna.com uses, and that is you have an information-rich web page. Search engines like information-rich web pages with a lot of articles, a lot of data that relates to what you're promoting. You see. So we have a web page, ultimateselfrealization.com, which is a sign-up page, actually, and then we have a lot of different articles. You know, a lot of Krishna conscious articles on that page.
So whenever a search is done with anything on that web page,
people will find you.
Find you. Okay.
Yeah, people will find you. Krishna.com gets a huge number of hits because they have such a huge wealth of articles on Krishna consciousness. And they naturally get hits. You see. So search engines like information-rich websites. So if you put a lot of information, you work really hard and put a lot of information out there, search engines will find you. But then what makes our program successful is once they come, then we focus on just getting them to sign. So then we can, some web pages are very much into just giving a lot of information, but our focus is on getting people to sign up. So we can then do a follow-up, our cultivation through regular email. Questions more? Yes.
What's your competition like? Since you've been so successful, have others tried to imitate?
Well, there are other people doing it. They charge money for their course, which we know is against our Vedic principles. There are people teaching self-realization courses who are charging money. I really haven't... there's really no competitor for what we're doing. I mean, the Ritviks are trying to compete with us. But... by stealing people away from ISKCON. But there's really, in terms of our philosophy and our teachings, nobody touches us. We have the monopoly, philosophically, on the science of self-realization. There are other people out there like the Self-Realization Institute, or Fellowship is called. It's been around for many years, but no one has this philosophy. This philosophy is Raja Vidya, it's the king of knowledge. And there's nothing equal to or greater than what this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is. We are the this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the world's leading educational institution. That's actually what we are. Nobody can touch us philosophically and in terms of practical application of that knowledge also. There are many devotees who have split off from ISKCON. You know, I don't want to mention any names here, the different swamis and different people who have left ISKCON and are doing their own programs. But the fact is, they don't have Prabhupada Shakti. Those who have stuck with ISKCON, Prabhupada, like we heard in Peter's seminar, Prabhupada said, I am ISKCON, basically. He said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. So by staying within the society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we have Prabhupada Shakti. And nobody else really has Prabhupada Shakti except for those people who remain in his society. So we have tremendous potency for spreading Krishna consciousness. We just have to be instruments for Prabhupada's potency to act through us. And I mean, I'm just amazed. We went to... through some contacts on our e-course, we went to the Muslim world about 2 weeks ago. And I just couldn't believe it. There I was in a hall with 150 Muslims who had never chanted Hare Krishna. 150 Muslims! And the whole hall was ecstatically chanting Hare Krishna. I talked about absolute truth, a little bit broad in general, you know. I kind of like in like a needle, out like a plow philosophy. And then we had a kirtan, and I taught him how to chant the mantra. My wife, Vishnupriya, she wrote the mantra on the board. Mataji's back there, Vishnupriya Mataji. My constant companion on the road and at home. And then we had a kirtan, which went pretty good, and then we had questions and answers. There were so many questions we couldn't even answer. Questions like, what is the nature of God? Can you imagine? It was wonderful. And we had another kirtan, and then we said, well, we have some Turkish Bhagavad Gita's here, and my wife gave me the suggestion, why don't you agree to sign the Gita, anybody who buys it, and that got him for you. We had a line of people. We sold out in 10 minutes. We had to turn away people. We sold every single Gita we brought with us. And I was so intoxicated that when the program was over, we got on the elevator and went down onto the street in downtown Istanbul. And I was going, where am I? I'm in Istanbul. Oh yeah, I'm in Istanbul. This just happened in Istanbul. I was so intoxicated on the preaching. So the thing is, there's unlimited potency that we have just by connecting with Srila Prabhupada through following, you know, our system that he gave us. He set up a whole system, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's by plugging into Prabhupada's society, which is not different from him, and being a, and trying to be a pure devotee in all your thoughts, all your words, and all your deeds, that to the extent that that purity becomes gradually more and more manifest in your heart, then more and more bhakti shakti will pass through you and influence people. So there's two ways you can increase that purity. One is by your sadhana, and one is by, and the other is by preaching. Because preaching is part of our sadhana, actually. So that's why if you can find ways to influence a wider circle of people and have a greater impact, because whatever advancement they make, you, the preacher, also get a portion of that. You know the song of the broker by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He was saying that I will take you to the marketplace of the holy name. All your desires will be fulfilled and I will get my commission. So when you take the role of a salesman in the Namahat to distribute the holy names of Krishna, the persons that you're selling, quote, selling the holy name to, they get spiritual perfection and you get your commission. So the more you, that's why the internet preaching is so exciting, because you can touch thousands of people and get a commission on every one of their advancements. I mean, it just amazes me. I was sitting in the temple room this morning, somebody walks up and offers their obeisances. So I'm your e-student. I read your thought for the day every day. I mean, people I've never even met before. Can you come and preach in California? I'll arrange preaching engagements for you. I mean, you know, I get all kind. I get a lot of people who are already in ISKCON. I get people who've left ISKCON. I get Narayan Maharaj followers. I get all kinds of people joining my course and really loving it. And so anyway, I encourage everyone to it's simple. You gather names and email addresses wherever you go, and just start mailing. You build up a little, your own little contact list of people that you send regular emails to, and you know, and whenever they write you back, answer them immediately. Don't let it sit. I was so happy they put the wireless thing here in the lodge. I can sit in my room upstairs and do my emails without having to go anywhere now. It's very convenient. I got up in the morning, I took my shower, and immediately, like at 3:30 in the morning, there I was sending out my broadcast all over the world from the room upstairs. So, the internet, you, because there's a little bit of an impersonal nature to it, you know, the email has a bit of an impersonal nature. So I write, when I write an email, I make it very personal. My dear so-and-so, please accept my blessings. As a spiritual master, I write like that, but then, and then I make it like a personal letter, not just some note. I make it like you'd write a regular personal letter. And back in the old days, when we used to write letters, and they were, you know, very personal before the email came in. So I write them just like I'm writing a letter, instead of just some quick little note. I make it as personal and as warm as I possibly can to overcome the impersonal nature of the internet. And I try to respond as quickly as I possibly can. Sometimes I get a bit backlogged, like now I'm doing Tuesdays. I'm answering Tuesdays' letters that came in. Yes?
I was just thinking about the devotees have akrama, and please accept my temple, other stuff, and this stuff like very personal.
Oh, yeah. Now the thing, the tendency is just to go Pamho, and then the other one, Agupster, whatever it is, AGPS. But here's a little trick. You have a signature file. This is what I do. Whenever I write an email, a little template comes up. It says, my dear, and there's a blank, and it says, please accept my blah, 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 blah. And all the formalities of the letter come up automatically. You don't have to type them in every time. And then you just type the middle in. So you can use the technology to make it very warm and personal without having to do all the typing each time. So, yes.
Two questions. Mm. First is, what's the? I guess I'm a little hazy about the full nature of the course. They just send you emails.
Okay.
And
okay. Well, basically the course is we call it. The weekly lessons are basically somewhat of a. It's not a structured course like a Bhakti Shastri course because I couldn't do that much grading for 20,000 people, obviously, one person. So basically what we do is we're just preaching them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The first one is a rather detailed email called Welcome to the Wonderful World of Self-Realization. We walk them through all the basics of, you know, how to understand that you're a spiritual being, how to understand that there's a God, how to understand that God is a person, and how we can understand that person actually can be called and is understood as Krishna in the year's eternal servant. So in a nutshell, the introductory lesson gives them the whole philosophy in a nutshell. And then basically I follow my inspiration. I write different lessons on different topics according to my inspiration as I go along. But I'm always guiding them, here's what you need to do. Follow these principles. I give them a lot of nectar. But at the same time, they have to know if you really want to get this, if you really want to taste the real juice, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, 16 rounds, study Prabhupada's books regularly, Gita especially, and Bhagavatam we emphasize. So, it is working. I mean, I have people who are now getting ready for initiation, who are visiting temples regularly, you know, wearing tilak, sari, dhoti, etc. So the system is working, although it's not really a structured Bhakti Shastri course. I make it a very personal thing between me and them. It's a relationship building tool. That's what I'm doing. I'm building a personal relationship with this person that I love you, I care about you, I want to help you. My life is dedicated to helping you become completely free of all anxiety and achieve unlimited happiness at every second of your existence. So that's how that's basically what I'm doing. I'm building a relationship with that person. And a lot of people are very much touched by it. It works. It's not it's not like a Bhakti Shastri. You go through a detailed study of all the aspects of the philosophy. I just wasn't inspired to do that kind of a course. Although those courses are available now on the internet through different sources. But I'm looking for making a devotee out of that person. Not for training an ISKCON devotee in the subtleties of our philosophy. I pass them on to a course like that. Like I have a gentleman in New Hampshire, or Vermont, yes. So I encouraged him to take the Bhakti Shastri course. But, other questions? Yes.
Prabhuji, as you pointed out, that it is impersonal. It is not a question, but a comment. There are so many webcams coming in. Why can't you do a web presentation weekly basis? There are free sites available, I heard. So you can show your face.
Yeah, it's a very good idea. It's a matter of, we can also do, it's a matter of time. I've been so busy in the last 3 years just keeping up with the correspondence and writing the daily thoughts. I have these desires in my heart. We have the, even to get my lectures, on this tour I just did in Europe, I have many, many lectures, and especially that one in Istanbul is pretty exciting. And I need to put up a website and start posting, people go on and hear the lectures that they're being given. I have all the equipment to make very good DVDs now and put computer files out. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. If I had, it's a matter of what I have time in my 24 hours to do.
The same thought of the day that you're writing, if you speak and put it on a website, let everybody see in the same time, it is very personal. That is one. Second thing is, there is a website called speakconference.com, which we do every week. Just call the people and talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
That way you can.
Yeah, I did one. I did one telephone conference. It was very successful all over the world. Someone called from Israel. And that was a regular telephone thing. We're actually calling on the telephone. No, I'm aware of these different technologies. It's just a matter of time.
They're absolutely free.
Yeah, internet's free. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's I'm aware of these technologies. Like I'm saying, it's a matter of time. I just find, you know, I would love to expand in these other, because my these students out there who are already connected with me would love it. There's no doubt.
If they hear your voice, it is personal. There is a website called freeconference.com. We have 20,000 email addresses. If you invite all of these people, at least 100 people can hear at the same time. We are using it for.
It's a very good idea. I would definitely like to implement these technologies. It's just a matter of getting the time to do it.
We are doing it for 1 year, actually. Past 1 year.
You can give me after our talk, you can give me all your URLs for reference, and I can check it out. That'd be nice. It's definitely the way to go. I definitely want to do it. It's just a matter of time. See you after that.
A couple questions. First is how to. You said that it's not really a money making endeavor, but how is it possible to do this full time and still maintain your life?
Well, we have a system where we encourage people to donate, and we have enough donations coming in for my preaching. Plus, we have a preaching center in Austin. I'm able to. My wife and I are maintained just by donations. We fly all over the world to promote the course. We're able to cover every course. We get donations, and we travel also. But no, it's working out for us. We have a little thing where you can click, and every thought of the day has a little place where you can click if you'd like to be a donor. And, you know, this is a credit card, they can give a one-time donation, or they can be set up on a monthly billing. So they have those options available, and we are getting enough income to cover our expense by Krishna's grace, so we can be fully absorbed in preaching. It's happening. Yeah.
About how if it's necessary to have a single personality as the center, as like the advice giver, that we all must, is it recommended that we should all start our own networks, or is it also a possibility to enter work where we have, you know, you're the authorized, you know, writers, and we can do it as a collaborative effort, in that way we can have
either way.
Just like
it's like a group. Saying, right? You can do it either way. I mean, you can have a whole consortium of people breaking together as a team to do it, or you could do it on your own as well. Either way can be effective. But the personal touch has to be there.
Yeah.
If they write a letter and one time someone answers and sometime else, you need to know, they need to become known to some. If you're going to do that, then you should assign everyone to a certain devotee.
Right. It's like a counselor system.
Yeah, this is the person that now knows you, and you come to him. It's that one-on-one relationship is essential. Even if you do a group thing, you should divide it up.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take America, you take Europe, you take Australia, or whatever. You can divide it up, and let everybody focus on certain. You know, that when they write, they know you. You're their contact person, because it's called love and trust. You have to build that love and trust. The individual who knows them, who cares about them, they feel the love and kindness coming from that person to them. This is how Prabhupada captured us. We felt his love for us. So that's how our movement will grow. When people can feel the love coming from an individual devotee to them, that's when their heart will change. Yes.
So besides giving financial support, like how can others, or how can we assist you?
You can give me your email address. We can definitely work, keep that information and think about how I can engage you to find out what your talents are, what your time is, etc. I'd be very eager to engage others who would like to help me. That'd be really great. Anybody who wants to help me, we can pass a little sheet around, name and email address. Or just come up at the end, because I don't have a clipboard. I left my clipboard upstairs. But yeah, you can give me your name and email address. That'll be very nice. We can see how we can engage you. It'll be very nice.
Thank you.
Yes.
With 20,000 correspondences, how do you remember? Do you have a kind of relationship management kind of software? How do you keep track of?
Yeah, well, most of the 20,000 on the weekly lesson, the daily thought of the more serious people who sign up for the second option to get something every day. There's about 6,000 of those. And people that have actively corresponding with me, there may be 100 or 200 of them who are really, really super, super serious. And we use Microsoft Outlook as a technique for every time somebody writes me a letter, I have Outlook set up where it keeps a copy of everything that I send out. Whatever's coming in, I delete. But when a letter comes in from a person, I will write the reply along with their what came in. It'll be in the bottom of the email. So I can type in anyone, like Igor, for example, out there in Estonia. I can type in Igor, and everything I ever send him will come up in one place, along with the date that I sent it to him. And what he wrote me will also be there, so I can just go through every single email that I've ever had exchanged with him. So the nice thing about this is it forces me to answer every single email that comes in. I do answer them, even if it's just one line. Everything gets answered because then everything gets filed. So the Microsoft Outlook works very good for that. I find a very successful way where I can just, you can see every single correspondence you had with that person, ever. It's all there, it just comes up on the screen. And you can even do a search. Just like, you just type in any word that even written in the letter itself. There's one lady in Athens, this is really interesting. She had gotten the Bhagavad Gita as it is in Finnish language. And I was in Finland at the time, sending out the thoughts of the day. I was there in Helsinki, writing about several days that we've spent in a small town called Kouvola. And she just went, wow, this must be providence, because she grew up in Helsinki, she spent many years in Kouvola. And I was writing it on the day of her birthday, so she figured everything, all the stars were lining up, and she was supposed to really get into this. And she saw everything click, where she spent time with her grandparents, the day of her birthday. Krishna just arranged everything. Even the other day somebody wrote me they had been dreaming about Hare Krishna. They didn't know anything about Hare Krishna. And they just got on the internet and started searching for Hare Krishna, and they found me. So now they tell me all of this Hare Krishna, because I've been guided to come to you to find out what is Hare Krishna. So, yes, Richard.
What are the monthly costs for your hosting website?
Oh, website? You can get a website for $8 or $9 a month nowadays. $7.50.
But do you use one of those very inexpensive ones?
$7.50 I have a number of them. I think I'm paying $7.98. I have several web pages, I have our archives. When the Shrikant is doing my archives, there's Shrikant back there. He keeps the archives of all the back issues. And that's just $7.50 a month. It's called simplehost.com. $7.50 a month for unlimited web space. It's so inexpensive nowadays, anybody would be a fool not to use the internet. It's really inexpensive. Manaji, you had something you wanted to add?
I just wanted to say everything boils down to how you respond to them.
That's right. Really, the personal response. You can broadcast things all over the world, but if there's no response, forget it. If you don't respond promptly in a very personal way to where you really reach out and touch their heart, then forget it. Don't even waste your time. If you just want to do this, as a hobby that you look at every couple of weeks, don't waste your time. If you want to do this, you have to do it religiously, as they say. Religiously. It means every day you're looking. Once, twice, three times a day, what emails have come in, and the answer, follow up. And then you'll get, then the people will feel, this person is there for me. Whenever I need them, they're there, they're available. This person loves me, they care about me. Mm-hmm. I can take guidance from them, I can take inspiration, yes.
Thank you for again and again reiterating the importance of being personal with this whole mode of preaching or communication. And in that respect, I'd just like to, if I can, just share a couple of comments. First is that I especially like when you read out the excerpt, the tone of it was very much a personal perspective, like a diary entry or journal entry, which, as many of you know, is very, very popular right now, blogs and web journals and things like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're relating...
It's cutting edge right now. This type of stuff is cutting edge.
I really applaud you for that rather than... I mean, and of course there's philosophy there, but your tone is totally in that realm, which is great, which is also something that I appreciated with other preachers, such as Indra Dubra Maharaj and his diary and what he tries to do.
Yeah, he's a great inspiration for me, man. I read his stuff and it really inspires me.
So that's wonderful. And then also and also kind of to respond to a point raised by Radha Madhav Prabhu about this, the possibility of doing this in teams. And the need to kind of still keep it personal and consistent there. Just a little experience that I thought was kind of interesting. When I was in law school, there's a search engine that we use called LexisNexis, right? Huge company. And one of the nice features that they have is they have a live help option. So you get on, and in real time, you're basically chatting with someone whose job it is to help you along. Literally hold your hand along the way as you're researching and coming up with these things. And early on, when I first started utilizing this, one of the first people, if not the first kind of helper person that I connected with, just because they happened to be a pleasant person, they were very helpful, and I made the connection. Every time after that, whenever I did research, I always tried to, like, I found out when their hours were, and I made sure to do my research. I actually molded my study schedule
around
this person because I knew that was a dependable person.
This personal thing is really where it's at in terms of studying our movement.
And that was just to do some law research. What to speak of?
Self-realization.
With self-realization.
Realizing your eternal spiritual identity.
Absolutely. Which is inherently the most personal thing.
I was brought into this movement by Vishnujan Maharaj, who was famous for being very, very personal. I mean, the extent that he was personal with me just amazes me even to this very day. He would do things that other devotees would never dream of doing. I was very attached to one song by the Jefferson Airplane called... It was a Christian hymn called Good Shepherd. And he had known the Jefferson Airplane. He had heard one of them sing that song to him before it ever went on the album, so he knew the song. And he actually sang, we were driving back from a preaching program, and we sang that song as a duet. If you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, like that. So Vishnujan, here we are driving off in the Jeep down the freeway as the sun is setting in the west, singing a duet together. You know, if you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar, O good shepherd, feed my sheep. So Vishnujan would go to such an extent to be warm and personal with someone. So that had a big impact on me. Prabhupada wrote me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of Vishnujan Maharaj. So that personal touch of just being willing to get in and do what, maybe nobody else being so personal that nobody else would even dream of being that personal. That's what I try to do with people. And it's very effective. It's very, very effective. I got people all over the world just waiting for me to come visit them. Letting me come and stay in their home, arrange preaching for me. I just have so many people. I don't have enough time in the year to travel all the places I could be to personally cultivate people that I'm contacting through discipleship. So we're trying to do our best. We just got back from Europe, 5 weeks in Europe now. We're doing a North American road tour. The eastern side and Canada, and then we have somebody in Mexico who's going to pay our tickets to come down and preach in her village. But I said, have you read Bhagavad Gita as it is? I said, you can translate the lecture for the people you're inviting, but have you read Bhagavad Gita as it is? She says, well, I have it in Florida, my other home in Florida. She must be wealthy. But I've never read it. I said, well, you must order immediately because I can't come unless you cannot be the translator unless you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, so you can properly translate. So she immediately ordered. Spanish copy of Bhagavad Gita on our little web store we have. So I will come down, so she can pay my ticket to come, me and Mataji, so she can pay our tickets to come down and spend a few days in her village, and she can invite all the people to her house. So this is the kind of stuff, this is out of the blue, you know, somebody contacted me via email, and now they're willing to pay our airfare to come to Mexico, just to live, stay in her house and do preaching in her village in Mexico. So there's just all over the world, there's opportunities like this. I've got people in Africa, Australia, and North America. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yes?
What are the different websites that you...
Mm-hmm.
If you could name the websites... That
what is it?
If you could name the websites that you...
Yes. We have a sign-up page, which is a good one, which is www.backtohome.com. That's a real good one-page sign-up. We have ultimateselfrealization.com. Those are the main sites that we have right now. Those two sites. ultimateselfrealization.com. And we call it the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. We present it as the world's leading training system. It is. Krishna consciousness is. So we're presenting Krishna consciousness. We give a little bit of a, you know, we give it a slightly different way of branding it, which is right there out of Prabhupada's books. Instead of just calling it Hare Krishna, which we could, we thought some people may have a negative connotation, let's let everybody get in the door. So, but they find out it's Krishna consciousness right away, and the first, they read about Krishna and the very first thing they see. We're not hiding it. We do come a little bit gradually into because that approach was used by Prabhupada himself at 26 Second Avenue. We talk about things like dovetailing the individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness. We do talk about these concepts to some extent. In the early days, the first year, I was going very, very slow and very, very gradual. Then I went to Vrindavan for Kartik and I said, heck to this, I'm just going to talk about Krishna. And we didn't hurt anything. So, but I still do, and you'll see if you sign up at www.backtohome.com, you get the first email and you see how I gradually come to the point of Krishna at the end. You know, we talk about how we talk in terms of logic. We can prove Krishna logically. We use logic instead of... what we like to do is give logical evidence and then back it up, saying that it is confirmed in the scriptures. Because who accepts the authority of scripture nowadays? So if we present it, if we prove it in terms of logic, they go, wow, that's an undefeatable logic. And then we say, and it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the following verses. Then we establish the authenticity of the scripture on the basis of our logical arguments. And it works, it's a strategy that works very well. Very well. I got the Muslims all chanting Hare Krishna. Yes?
Word of appreciation, as you were mentioning that out of those 6,000 regular correspondents who get the thought of the day, only 1 or 200 reply or
Yeah, we have probably one or two hundred who regularly, regularly or semi-regularly correspond.
My confession here is I am one of those 4,800.
Oh, you're one of them. Jai. What is your name, Prabhu?
That don't correspond with you. I just read every day.
So you're on thought for the day?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
And
how did you find the course?
I still don't remember, it was a while.
That's what happens, nobody even remembers how they found it.
It's been a while, like more than a year, I was getting you out of it.
Where do you live?
Chicago.
Well, that's nice. We're actually coming to Chicago on our road tour.
Oh, okay.
And within a few weeks, we'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me
your name.
My name is Madhusudan.
Madhusudan. That's nice.
So, yes. I recently read your Istanbul tour. It's very inspiring, as Prabhu was mentioning. I really feel inspired to read Dhruva Maharaj's very impressively fortunate in a way sense. I felt the same kind of tone when you were writing about Istanbul experience, because I never heard like somebody going to such a Muslim country and reaching there and tasting the nectar of holy names.
This is also a Muslim country feature.
Yes, definitely.
He's a real hero.
So I just wanted to share my position.
Thank you. Yeah, that's, thank you very much. I'm so happy to meet my E students here in face to face. We're out of cyberspace, now into real space. That's great. Face to face. Yes.
Isn't the profile of your E students just with an idea?
What is it?
Each profile or your profile of your E students, can you share the demographic of your
students? Demographic.
Oh, what are the demographics?
Demographics plus your age profile.
Yeah. Well, I haven't really taken a survey, but I mean, I have a lot of people in India. A lot of Hindus will come. A lot of people, because North America is so internet, so wired for the internet, we have a lot of people in North America. I have a few people in Europe. You know, some really nice people have come out of Europe. Australia, we have a few. North America and India seem to be my strongest places. You know, we have young people, older people, people in their 50s. Just like an E student, a lady named Helen in Wiesbaden, Germany. She came all the way to Amsterdam with her husband to meet me. And now she wants to become a disciple. Must become my disciple. She spent 2 days with my wife and I in Amsterdam, where we also stayed with one of my E students there in Amsterdam, who wants to be a disciple now too. So, yeah, we have many different profiles. We have we reach out to everyone in all from all backgrounds, and we you know, I have one man was a Catholic priest in Mexico who gave up being a priest. He joined my course in California. Now he's an initiated disciple, Rishikesh Prabhu. He was formerly a Catholic priest. Now he's my disciple in California. And so yeah, it's all kinds of things. Former priests, another former priest in Alachua who's getting ready to be my disciple, initiated, goes to the Alachua temple. He's a former Catholic bishop, actually. So, you know, we have former priests and bishops. We have, you know, we have hip. I have a girl who was a Deadhead, you know, one of the followers of the Dead, Grateful Dead, rock and roll band, like a hippie type. She's getting ready for initiation now, in, up in New Hampshire. So there's so many different types.
Probably you could use this to attract somebody of their community. I don't know.
Huh?
You could use that profile to attract some people of that community more. Would that help?
Well, what we have actually on backtohome.com, we have a number of sub-pages that appeal to different subgroups. We have one, we're slightly modified here. And so, but we even have one for people who are looking interested in George Harrison, you know. So that we have, the George Harrison is in Krishna consciousness. We have all kinds of ways we hook them in. But you have a question? Yes.
What are the different categories of courses that you offer, and what are the different categories of names?
Yeah, we're basically just teaching the basics of Krishna consciousness. It's not an organized bhakti shastri course. So we just give the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
So, the 20,000 to maintain, so to maintain category of student categories.
Like entry level, other levels.
Well, we did have, formerly we had a system where we had a whole series of courses that we get plugged into. But in time of the software couldn't handle it. I had 20,000 people, and each of them at a different level. I had to go through 20,000 calculations every time I tried to send a broadcast. And the software was not built to equip it, and it started malfunctioning. So for a couple of years, I had a system where they go into lesson one, lesson two, lesson three, and gradually come to the point where we're talking about state Krishna consciousness. But the software couldn't handle that. The 20,000 calculations every time I tried to send an email out, it was just too much. It's something like that. I'm not a software techie, but I talked to the software developers, and he said, this software is not built to do what you're doing. With it. It's not built for that. So now I just have, what I do is I give them the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness in one long introductory email. We take them all the way from, you know, understanding that that I exist and there's an origin for everything, why that origin has to have personality. I try to give them in one short essay the whole Krishna, bring them to the point of Krishna consciousness quickly. And then if they don't like it, they can drop out immediately. There's a little remove link at the bottom, they can drop out instantly. And if they've made it there, then I just give them my general Krishna conscious mailing like everybody else gets. That's what I had to do because of the software constraints. I tried to do a gradation thing, and with the numbers I was dealing with, the software could not handle it.
So basically, first time you send the introductory email, and once they agree
what
to
is it.
So first time you send the introductory email, and once they agree to it, then you send the general email.
No, no. They already agreed to be on it, but every mailing has a remove link at the bottom. An instant dropout link. So we immediately give them the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. And if they're happy with it, they just stay with it. And if not, they can drop out. But most people don't drop out. People are actually looking for higher knowledge. Actually, everyone is looking for Krishna. The whole world is dying for Krishna right now. Do you know that? The whole world is dying for Krishna. Did you know that? Yes. The whole world is dying for Krishna. Isn't it? Actually, they are. And Krishna has blessed us with this opportunity that we can be his agents to deliver him to them. We just have to have that conviction, that surety of the divinity of what we are doing. And magic will happen, guaranteed. Yes?
How would you be able to handle the personal relationships when you will have a lot of disciples? And
that's the question. People? Many people ask me, because some of the gurus in our movement, the disciples,
they
meet their guru at initiation time, and that's about it. It's hard for them to get contact. I've had many complaints for hearing. I've been writing my guru for 3 years and he never writes me back because he's too busy. So, so far I'm able to make contact. I only have 18 disciples, but what happens if I had 180 or 1800? If that ever happens. What I do is I'm just very dedicated. My service is simply to serve my disciples. I take that as the purpose of my existence. To serve their Krishna consciousness. I don't have any other managerial, I'm not a GVC. I don't have any managerial duties basically to do. My only service is to serve my students, to take care of all their needs. To get to the point where I can't, and that I'm able to do that at this point into the foreseeable future. And it reaches a point where I cannot do that, then I have to have others who would assist me in doing that. Certain emails, I don't know. There's ways that Papa did it. He would have correspondence read to him during his massage, for example, and he would give the answer. He would say, answer them like this. I'm going to write it up. He would sign it. And that would. So I have to see how I would do it. If it got so many emails, if I had 500 emails every day, how would I answer all of them? That's a problem I look forward to. And I'm sure Krishna will help me. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack.
The verbal thing would be much quicker than...
Yeah, to have... if I had a secretary, and I say, okay, tell them this, type it up and then read it to me, and then I say, yes, and send it. I could have a secretary doing that for me. I say, this is how you should answer them this point. Secretary types it up and say, yes. That's the proper move, and send it. I can do that. It gets to that point. But remember, our mission is we want to make everyone on this whole planet Krishna conscious. So therefore, I want all of you to also become active, because there's no way I can, that every one of us in this movement has to take up a big responsibility to make a lot of devotees and train them and cultivate them on the path. Every one of you has to do this. It is your duty.
There's not even an opposite. Yeah, in other words, you're not saying, well, I'm doing this.
I want you to do this also.
Yeah.
That's why we're making it public.
Yeah.
I want you to also get actively engaged using the internet to cultivate a lot of people and train them on the path of bhakti. because this is not a one man job. This is a job for each and every one of us to take up. Yes.
Like you had written this introductory paragraph, or like, you know, email, if you were to start to do something like that, would it be acceptable to use yours, or would
yes,
we have
you
to write our
own? Yeah, you can use my material. I have no objection. The only I've requested so far in our policy has been that this email that's being sent to you, it was written, just you can give some acknowledgement where it came from.
Yeah.
But we have we say copyright. You have the permission to distribute this as long as you say where you got it and give this link. There's nothing that we have is you can take any of our materials and use it in any way you like. But just say this was obtained from www.backtimehome.com.
Is there a system for becoming an affiliate of your course?
Yeah, you can say that we're affiliated with the Ultimate Self-Realization course, and. Yeah, you could have them take it, and then you could. Yeah, you're welcome to be an affiliate and do your and work
your own correspondence.
You can do your own correspondence with the people. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can say you're an. Yeah, we can work that out. But that's you're certainly welcome to be my affiliate. That's no problem at all. Yeah,
then
you can personally cultivate the people.
Then you're not reinventing the wheel. It's a lot of time and energy you would have done as far as introductory.
You're welcome. Anybody who wants to affiliate with me and do, and also, you know, cultivate people, I'm completely open to it.
And it'd be very easy to just have a little network of affiliates, and you can go and see which affiliate you like, and you can correspond with that person.
Now you build up your own. You bring your own people in. I'm not going to take the people that I'm bringing in and send them out to affiliates.
No.
You bring the people in, and you cultivate them, and you can use my material to do that. That's what I'm saying. It's where the easy thing is like we went to, it's like at the in Istanbul, we said we tested, we got how many people signed up in Istanbul? 40? We had 40 people sign up for the e-course in Istanbul. So wherever you go, whenever you preach, it's a very simple thing. Whenever you do a preaching program anywhere, whenever you meet somebody, every book distributor should have a little thing, a name and email address. For every person that's alike. I mean, everybody should be taking names and email addresses wherever you go, all over the world.
Yeah.
And just build up your contact list. Everyone should be doing that. It's a no-brainer. Why are we, if we're not doing it, we're just wasting opportunities. Everyone should be having names and email addresses, lists, and then, you know, you can use Panho. You set up your own little conference on Panho. Add them to the Panho conference, and every time you put something into that conference, it goes to everybody on your list. Very simple and easy. Yes.
This is very inspiring and very positive, but I'd like to just play devil's advocate for a second and pull out a more of a cynical one. What you're doing is wonderful, and you're a senior, mature, realized devotee. There is that fear that some of us may have that in, let's say, in imitation of the type of program that you're doing, someone else sets up a correspondence, and now they're in cyberspace, which is not regulated by really anyone or anything.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, they're representing Krishna consciousness.
That's right.
The IRM very much seem like an authority.
The IRM people are doing this. The IRM people are doing this.
Right.
They're using cyberspace to pollute people against Islam.
I mean, at the very least, you might have a situation where someone might be sincere, but maybe just lacks maturity or realization, and maybe putting forward something off.
Yeah.
All the way, you know, to the spectrum of people like the IRM, which is actually their agenda is actually to do something very negative, to destroy
this kind of thing.
I mean, that's their purpose. That's their intent. So, how can we address, you know, these inherent problems or fears?
In your own self? Well, this is why we have guru. That's why we take shelter of one of our spiritual masters. We have an authority that we answer to, that I'm not independent. This is what the principle of guru is there, to safeguard us, to make sure we're properly engaged.
And it, there's also senior devotees, like in our temple, there's temple president, president of the GBC. We have watchdogs. Papa said GBC is a watchdog. We have personalities who are there to keep an eye on us to make sure that we're properly engaged. That's an advantage of Jai Pataka Maharaj signing up for my course. And he'll certainly say something if he feels I'm doing something wrong. It's an advantage when Jai Pataka signs up for my course. So yeah, we should always be open to scrutiny. Sometimes God brothers will complain, oh, about this and that, and I actually change things in the way I do things. So I'm very open to being, to peer scrutiny, to adjust how I'm doing things. If someone feels that I'm not doing exactly the best way, then I'm certainly open to changing, modifying what I'm doing too. So we have to always, we should never be proud and thinking, well, you know, I've got my list and I can do whatever I want. That's not ISKCON. ISKCON means we have higher authorities and we work under the guidance of our higher authorities. So that's always been my mood. If Papa had personally trained me, he said, do whatever your temple president says and then whatever the GBC says without question. Papa trained me.
I that's a satisfying answer as to personal level, individually what we ought to do. Especially those of us who are sitting in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe address the fear, the larger fear of what everyone else might be able to do? I mean, I'll be very honest, since this is kind of a closed forum. I have great trepidation when I log on to websites because of what I'm going to see next. And, you know, it started that there were only a couple of sites, and now I don't even know how many there are. I made it a point at one time to not log on to any so-called Vaishnava news site or, you know, foreign exchange site, because the apparat that was going on was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Now, as part of my service, you know, I want to keep abreast of what's going on, but even now it's, you know, between VNN and Chakra and this and that, it's like, you know, there's that fear I have of what's going on out there and what the impression of...
Here's how I deal with it. I have, I mean, a very nice Indian lady, Amruna, who was on my course and very much appreciating me as a spiritual mentor. Like, she was seeing me as a spiritual master. She really looked up to and wanted, you know, in a humble way, wanting to learn from me. But then she got the IRM, you know, back to Prabhupada, and she had all these questions, but then I answered her to her full satisfaction. So I find it's a very good opportunity to preach when my e-students are contacted and are, you know, meet. I have a chance to straighten them out, and I do it very effectively. It's an interesting story, actually. This Catholic priest, who was he was formerly Henry Lopez, Bhakti Henry, but he had been getting all my contact through. He had no contact with this kind ever. It's just me and just him and me in cyberspace. And then the first time he went to the LA Temple was during the Memorial Day weekend, you know, the Prabhupada Festival, and he was singing and dancing like a young man there in front of Rukmini Dwarkadish, and then after the program, he went home with his little satchel he had laid down while he was dancing. And what was in there was back to Prabhupada magazine. The Rithiks were sneaking around the temple room putting their magazines and everybody's stuff. And he got home, he didn't know anything about the controversies, nothing. All he'd known is what I told him about Krishna consciousness. I think he'd gotten some books by that time from Prabhupada, you know, as in Bhagavad Gita. When he got home and he looked at this back to Papa and he wrote it, this is poison. He burned it. He didn't know anything about the politics, about the GBC and the IRM. He didn't know anything. He just looked at the content and he burned it. And he said, I'm never going back to that temple ever again. Because I told him that wasn't the temple that did it. It was people sneaking around the temple. So he's still going to the temple now.
That's interesting, actually. I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but since you raised the point, there's also that the other side of it where you're having this great correspondence with someone and you're presenting Krishna consciousness in a way and they're appreciating it, and then you direct them to their local temple and the experience that they get might be markedly different than the experience you've been getting.
I had some temples say, who's this Sankarshan Dasadikari? He's not an authorized GBC guru. Don't listen to him. The GBC never authorized him to initiate.
And I've had people
say that to some of my E students. So I'm a little careful now, but you know, I have to send them to the right temple where the temple authorities know who I am. I have to be a little cautious. So that's kind of strange, you know. Here I've been authorized since the year 2000, and, you know, some temple tells, a temple president even told someone, one of my godbrothers that knows me personally, he didn't even ask me, didn't check with me first, he just told the person I was not authorized, without even knowing. People speculate. So there's all kinds of interesting, you know, weird things that happen when we're trying to preach Krishna consciousness, even within our own society. You know, you have your own godbrother speaking against you sometimes, assuming that you're not authorized to initiate disciples. It's interesting. Yes?
In the beginning, also, one of the DVC gurus told one of them.
Oh, that's really funny. He was never found out who this was. But this one I had, I advertised that I had 2,000 people sign up for the course. So there was some person who was associated with ISKCON, he told one of our GBC men, and he said, oh, Sankarshan Das is lying to you. There's no way he has 2,000 people sign up for his e-course. So this person says, I have caught you. You are cheating and lying. I know you don't have 2,000 because this GBC guru said that you don't have 2,000. I have exposed you. You preach very nicely, but I can see that you are still a Kali Yuga because you are lying. So we get all kinds of interesting things even within ISKCON. Yeah. But later on, I won't say who he is, but I figured out who he was. He said, he approached us a year ago here at New Vrindavan and said, oh, that's really wonderful, you have so many people in your course. He never revealed that he was the one, but we knew who it was. But anyway, we get some interesting controversies sometimes, and you do something unique like this that nobody else has done before. It's kind of interesting what happens. Some kind of skepticism and disbelief and negativity. You just kind of have fun with it and don't get upset. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know. Yes.
I think this is like in a Bhagavad Talk class, you ask for questions or comments. This is a comment.
Yes, yes.
That the idea of being a spiritual master or a preacher is the same thing as that you're simply repeating what you heard. It's not really, you don't take credit.
No, Prabhupada said he was totally unfit.
Yeah.
You know that when they got him, you know they gave him a Vyasa san in L.A.? He started, the first time they gave him a Vyasa san in L.A., you know what he did? He started crying, you know that? Prabhupada started crying. He said, I am not fit to sit on that seat. So that is the actual position. If one who's qualified to be a spiritual master thinks I am totally unfit and unqualified for this position. But I have to do this because this is my duty. That's it. Anyone who thinks they're fit to be a spiritual master is not fit to be a spiritual master. That's what we learned from Prabhupada. So in this way, humility is the very, very important thing. Rupa Goswami, you know the famous quote, Nectar Devotion, he says, I'm trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although I'm completely unfit to do so. One has to feel I'm the most rotten, abominable. It's easy when I come to these festivals in New Vrindavan, I see so many exalted devotees, I just feel like just a rotten worm in the stool, and I see so many exalted Vaishnavas.
It's also like Krishna's inconceivable. Like, he's all powerful. It's also very inconceivable how the position of an Uttama Padikari, how he's directly in touch with Krishna, but he's feeling himself so low, and everyone else is more advanced than him.
Right. He feels that everyone is a devotee except for me, and I'm the most fallen.
And he's in direct contact with Krishna. Yeah. So it's just I don't understand. With a mundane mind, you have to be there to understand it.
Right. It's beyond our conception.
You cannot, beyond the mind. You just have to be there to understand something like that.
It's totally, logic cannot grasp it. Cannot at all grasp it.
But it just goes to show that the advanced devotee is the most humble.
That's right. He feels he's not even a devotee.
Yeah.
He feels I'm not even a devotee. I'm simply a devotee of Maya.
Yeah.
That's what he actually feels about himself. He genuinely feels that he is not even worthy to be called a devotee, but to speak of, you know, a higher level of devotee, not even a devotee at all, period. So anyway, our time has gone way over time. You get 5 minutes to go to the next conference. I am giving one here on spiritual purity the driving force behind ISKCON's success. That will start in 5 minutes. Anybody wants to speak with me personally, give me your email address exchange or anything like that. I do have cards here. You want to see how I'm doing this thing? What kind of card I use? You're welcome to come and get a card.
Does that your web address?
I have a little handout card promoting my course wherever I go.
This is kind of like why we don't have a big list of like initiating groups you can choose from.
What I find so glorious about it is how simple and unassuming your website is, whereas so many firms are investing millions of dollars in like the pulsating soundtrack and the spinning logo, spending millions on research yet. Personal touch trumps everything.
It's really just following.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a fact. The bells and whistles is an extensive show. The real thing is that substance.
Yeah.
We have nobody else has substance except for us. So yeah. This kind of movement, people who have real substance, no one else has this. Even the other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't have Prabhupada Shakti.
Yeah.
We have the Prabhupada as the one guru who has the Shakti to deliver the whole world.
Yeah.
We're his instruments.
Yeah.
We're his monkeys.
Yeah.
Dancing white elephants.
That Shakti can act through us. We just have to purify our hearts, and that's what we're going to, that's the next session. It's about the purifying our hearts. That's our next session starting.
I just signed up for the course.
Oh, okay, very good.
What I find is so glorious is that no one thought of this before. It's so simple. It's so simple. You know, here we're like, you know, she's really copying all kinds of like convoluted strategies, but you're just giving them like, you know, emails every week.
Every day.
Yeah.
So weekly lesson and then thought for the day. Okay. Two lists.
Okay. Do you
sign up for both of these?
Yeah. Do you have your weekly lessons that are always available? If you have a course on your website, these are past lessons.
Yeah, Srikant is doing that. Yeah, it's a website called SrilaGurudev.com. It'll be each lesson will give you that link. You have a place where you can go. If the email doesn't come, just go to backtohome.com/course.
C-U-R-S-E.
And that will give you a link for the archives, and it will give you the current talk for the day and the current week. And sometimes the spam filters block this stuff. So what we do is we send that in text and in HTML. HTML is more likely to be blocked. Text is more likely to get through, but HTML is nicer to read.
Yeah.
Are you my announcer again?
Yeah, I was just
how wonderful.
It's really stuffy in here.
We weren't even conscious of it.
We
get so enlivened in the guitar.
No, you can open
about the stuff
in the AC there.
This is my room.
If they're finished in that class, you could open the door.
Yeah, that window's open there. That one doesn't open. You can turn the fan.
You can't run the AC. I won't be able to hear anything.
You can just turn the fan on for a few moments.
Yeah, let's turn it on for a few minutes just to air out the room. You know how to do that? Somebody do that.
Can I make one more comment? I'm sure you're aware of this already, but you were saying earlier that search engines love information-rich sites.
Yeah.
The other way Google, you know, assesses, you know, the hierarchy of who's at the top, is based on who's feeding, you know, how many links are pointing to the site. So the more sites you have that are pointing to you, the higher up your rank. But not only that, but the higher quality the sites are. So if it's really popular sites that are pointing to you, then it's like kind of democratic. It's like an election. The more votes for you, the higher up your rank. So it's very beneficial to have as many feeder sites as possible.
Yeah, well, that's how like the affiliates is very good.
Yeah. And you're linked up on Krishna.com naturally, right?
Yeah, I told them. They put a link on their phone.
But even just throwing out those keywords with like related sites, like you're saying George Harrison or like, you know, vegetarianism.
Yeah, how do you actually, you mentioned that, but it wasn't directly back to home sites of access.
No. That's somebody can type in George Harrison
and find that subset.
It's the same sign up page, it's just worded slightly differently, talking about George Harrison. The same site for the few changes in words.
Right. Okay. Well, can I give you an email? I'd like to start corresponding.
Okay, well, my email address is right there.
Okay, so I'll just log on and sign up.
You can just write me and we can see about
Yeah.
What are you? Where are you located? What's your name?
I'm in Vancouver. My name is John Paul.
Hmm?
John Paul.
John Paul.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a freelance web designer.
Okay.
And,
but actually,
we brought him out of Prabhu here. We're both graphic designers.
Yeah. Well, that's good because actually, I'm looking for. We have a new domain that I'm inspired to come up with: spiritualrevolutionary.com. And that's going to be my official website for all my audio. And you could actually design that for me. It should be like an archive. Kind of like Inadim is funny as travelingfeature.com.
Yeah.
I'm calling it spiritualrevolutionary.com. So that's where my. So you can design them. But you know, the place for my students to go on and people who like are, you know, inspired by my preaching, would like to see what I'm doing, you know, hear my latest lectures.
And so
that can be an audio and video. We'll have video eventually too, but audio, I have a bunch of audio lectures from my recent tour. And just whatever you can brainstorm, you think of yours.
Yeah.
Have you thought about, like, because we're kind of involved, getting more involved with, like, Mitch Mupugu wants me to help sort of come up with different strategies for unifying his concept and presence.
Yeah.
And also, Manu has been talking about different strategies for Krishna.com, incorporating lots of different things. How would you see yourself in these certain levels? Like, you know, what kind of presence you want to have as part of developing systems for future, and like expanding the preaching, the sort of preaching, you know, putting this sort of thing at the forefront of the systems that we're going to be building for Krishna.com, where we want to drive people towards a personal relationship with them. So, like, they already have their life help that they're not able to keep up with, and they have, you know, so many people who are writing to them that they can't keep up.
Yeah, well, they know what I'm doing. I don't pressure anyone. Whatever they're inspired to do, that's fine.
Excuse me.
This is Ivana from Chicago?
Yes, please.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I hope you don't mind that I recorded your lecture.
I'm so happy.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm so happy you're here and you've come. I didn't.
Yes.
Very nice.
I was looking for the details. Yeah, but my battery is gone, so I want to charge it.
Very nice you're here. They mentioned your name. And I'm meeting you face to face.
Yes. Many thanks, Dr.
Is that one of the initiatives?
Contact Mother Prabhupada.
I don't know.
Vancouver.
My initiative is
What's his name? Ananda Prabhu's there.
Yes.
Jango at
Telestan.
Yeah, that's a temple present.
Jango
Linda. Jango at Telestan.
But we could also send, there's some representatives from Vancouver here. I'm sure he might know.
Okay, so now we have spiritual purity here.
I just kind of do a thing Dharma Prani is aware of what I'm doing, and they haven't really thought about sending a lot of they haven't promoted my course. Maybe some obscure links. Just one of the big long list. So I'm not asking them.
J-A-Y-G-O.
I want them to
T-E-L-U-S.
I don't
He can probably direct you. Otherwise, I could just ask around.
Anyone is inspired?
No.
Do you have any
students in the brain? Sure. Have other strategies or more interesting things?
We'll try to drop some books off or something.
I'm not thinking that.
Oh, well, no, he's
doing quite well. Everyone has to come to my mind. I'm just doing my, you know, everyone has their own domain and has a strength, but I can do my space. And I'm encouraging everybody else to extend in their area and work cooperatively. It's not that they extend the information.
That's how it works. It's kind of like a master's website.
Thank you.
and all of these sites.